We'll discuss tonight a point which is based in several different halachas in Nekachtos. It's actually a halacha that is really kind of belongs in Tel Yavinitan, but it's rooted in several different halachas in our Siman, Reish Lamed Beis, Nekachtos. It's an idea which is very important throughout Chosh and Mishpat. It comes up in Dinei Torah. It's highly technical, but we'll try to explain it as clearly as possible. One of the key sources is our Sif, the Sif we're beginning tonight, Sif Yud Tes. Basic background, we have the idea of Bari V'Shema. Chazal and various Gemaras and Shas talk about the notion of Bari V'Shema, a case where one party is Bari, is certain that he's right. The other party is Shema, he's not sure. He doesn't trust the Bari necessarily, but he doesn't know for sure one way or another. That's called Bari V'Shema. The Gemara brings a Machlokas Amarayim, a major Machlokas Amarayim, whether Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. Do we say that the decision isn't automatically in favor of the Bari because he's sure and the other guy can't contradict him? Or do we say Bari Lav Adif? We don't follow the Bari. The halacha is, we paskin, according to most or all paskim, Bari Lav Adif. If I say you owe me money, and you say you don't know, maybe I borrowed, maybe I didn't, I don't remember, you are off the hook, you are not chayev to pay. There is, however, one major exception, and that's based on a distinction of the Rishonim between what we call Eni Adem Mischayavti versus Eni Adem Praticha. The case we just discussed is Eni Adem Mischayavti. I don't know if I ever had an obligation to you. You say that you lent me money. I don't remember if you lent me money. Maybe I never saw you before. Maybe you're making up the whole thing. I don't know. Maybe you were going to lend me money and I changed my mind. I didn't borrow the money. But maybe there was never a chiyuv. That's the case where we paskin Bari V'Shema, Bari Lav Adif. If I'm saying that I don't concede the existence of the chiyuv in the first place, there may never have been a chiyuv, I don't know. That's when we say Bari Lav Adif. If, however, the chiyuv is not being disputed, we all agree that I borrowed money. It's proof that I borrowed money. I concede that I borrowed money. That's not the debate. The debate is whether I paid the money back. So we both agree last week I borrowed money. You say the Tavea, the Malva says I was never paid back. I say I don't remember. I think I might have paid you. I'm not sure. I don't remember what happened. So it's, on the one sense, it's almost exactly the same case. You're sure that I owe you the money. I'm not sure I owe you the money. But here, the key difference is, here, their vade was a chiyuv at one point. So here, the halacha is, we say, Bari V'Shema, Bari is adif, and here, you are chayav to pay. These two rules, the first case is what we call, Eni Adem is chayavti. I'm not sure I ever owed you the money. Then you're potter. There is still a chiyuv, a maral chiyuv, a chiyuv l'sadei shemayim, but we're not going to get into that tonight. But Al-Pidin, based in Wood Paskin Potter. The second case that we call Eni Adem Praticha, I don't know if I paid you, or sometimes Eni Adem Echzarti, I don't know if I returned it to you, synonym for the same thing. In those cases, we Paskin Chayev. These are two standard halachas that are key halachas throughout Chosh and Mishpat. We have a major machlokas between the Shach, actually quoting the Marashnam, important Turkish Achron from the 16th century, against the Taz. The case they're arguing about is, the Shach is in our Siman, Sifkat and Tezvav, the Taz is back in Hilchas Tanya V'Nitta and back in Siman Ayin Hey. They both bring the same case. The case was, someone owed someone else money, again, no question, everyone agrees he owed him the money. He paid him the money back, he owed him $100, he paid him $100 in cash. Some time passed, the creditor, the lender, then came back to the borrower and said, the cash you gave me, I looked at it more carefully, I showed it to an expert, I showed it to the bank rejected it, it turns out it was bad cash. Either it was counterfeit, or when they used to use precious metal in the coins, it was shaved down, it was missing some of its weight. Whatever it was, the money you gave me was bad money, it was not the full value that you owe me. I want you to replace it. And I'm sure, I know exactly what money it was, I had it in the same envelope, I took the envelope, I took it to the bank, I'm absolutely sure that the cash that has a problem is the cash that you gave me. In payment of your debt.
What happens if the bank seizes it, which is what they do?
Yes, that is a good question. And there is a tshuva about that. One of the sources I was looking up is a case where the bank seized it, and that added an additional wrinkle to the question that even if the other guy agrees that it was bad cash, in the Divrei Malkiel, he talks about a case where he still said, even if I concede that it was bad, you should have returned it to me, because I know who gave it to me, and I would have taken it back to him and gotten my money back from him, and now I can't do that. Whether that's a claim or not is the different Malkiel debates. Whether some say that, so therefore you shouldn't have shown it to the bank. This is what we discussed earlier in Reish Lamed Beis, that in general, if you find a mum you're not supposed to make any further room. You're supposed to return it for whatever use it might still be to the owner. On the other hand, here you did just what was expected of you. What do you do with cash? You give it to the next guy. So there the argument was that the other guys, there the question was, in the different Malkiel's case, the question had already arisen at the time of the original transaction. When he gave him the cash, he said, looks a little funny, are you sure this is good cash? He said, don't worry, if it's bad, just give it back to me. And then he gave it to the bank, and the bank took it away. So that guy said, you shouldn't have done that. We knew there was a problem, so you should have first checked it carefully before turning it into the bank, who was going to take it away. He said, well, you told me it was probably good, so I thought I can give it to the bank, and hopefully it would work out. So that is a very good question. Well, maybe we'll discuss that another time. But putting that aside, the question is, so the creditor, the Toveya, says, I'm sure the cash you gave me was bad. I know which envelope it was in. I took it straight from the envelope. I took it to the bank. Turned out it was bad. The buyer says, the other guy says, the debtor says, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. You know, I thought I gave you good cash. I can't say for sure. I mean, I didn't check every single bill under a microscope. It's possible the cash was bad. But you know, who knows? You know, I assumed it was good. You know, I can't tell you for sure. I'm a Shema. So what is this case? Is this case called Eini Yodeim Mischayavti? I don't know if I owe you anything. Is this case called Eini Yodeim Praticha? So the Shach takes what I think is probably the simpler position, conceptually. The Shach says, Eini Yodeim Praticha. I don't know if I paid you back. Yes, I know I gave you a thing that looked like a dollar bill. I don't know if it was a dollar bill. Maybe it was a bogus dollar bill. If so, that is Eini Yodeim Praticha. At the end of the day, right now, when this Shaila turns up, I don't know. I cannot say for sure I ever paid you back. So the Shach says, citing this Marashnam, they hold, this is called Eini Yodeim Praticha, and as long as the creditor, the Toveya, says, I'm sure it was bad, and you say, I don't know, you're going to be chayav. The Taz disagrees. The Taz says this was actually a great debate in his time. Taz says that there was a chiluk ben hadayanim, it was apparently an actual dintara. Dayanim disagreed. Some of them called it Eini Yodeim Mischayavti. Some of them called it Eini Yodeim Praticha. The Taz says this is called Eini Yodeim Mischayavti. Why? So the Taz is not entirely clear. He does throw in the svara at one point that since most money is good money, counterfeit money is fairly rare, relatively rare. So the way we look at it is, he seems to be saying at one point in his discussion, when you paid back, and even now that we're not sure, there was a presumption the payment was good. At that time, at least, we had the right to assume Al Pirov, Al Pichazaka. We had the right to assume the debt was paid off. And now we're sort of creating a new shaila. Now the shaila is being reopened. But since yesterday, the whole point of Eini Yodeim in Praticha, the reason you're chayev, according to some poskim, is because there's a chazaka that you were chayev. Yesterday you were chayev, so there was a chazaka that you were chayev. We don't know if you were paid back. So we operated based on a chazaka. But here, the chazaka terminated. Yesterday you were paid back, and there was a rove that it was a good piro, and even today we still have a rove that it was good. Today you're reopening the case. Some poskim say that in the halachas of chazaka, we no longer have a chazaka that you're chayav because it was already canceled by the rove, and that's why today it's really, it's like a new shail, and the new shail is Eini Yodeim Mischayavti. Tricky svara in lamdas, but that's what the Taz holds. Putting aside the svara, that's what the Taz holds. In the case where you paid back, and now there's a question of whether it's good or bad, the Taz says it's called Eini Yodeim Mischayavti. What's the Taz's raya? Taz brings two rayas, both actually from the laws of Anah Mechachtos. We'll focus on one of his rayas. That's from a sif we just did last week. The Ramah brings a halacha back in Sif Yud Ches. That last week we discussed the case where he sold something, metal, that he thought was tin, and it turned out there was valuable metal underneath. The Taz brings the reverse case, which is also in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Ches, where the seller sold a ring which was supposed to be gold. The buyer comes back to him a day later and says, I broke it open and I found that it was only gold plated. Underneath was base metal. The seller says, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was gold. I bought it from some of my supplier, told me it was gold. I can't say for sure. I didn't test it. So here again, the buyer says, I'm sure that I got ripped off. I'm sure that you owe me my money back. The seller says, I don't know, it's possible, I don't trust you necessarily, I don't trust you, that this thing you're giving me is the ring I sold you, maybe you took out the gold and replaced it, I don't trust you, but I don't know, could be not. So that sounds like a very similar case to the cases we're dealing with. Over there, the halacha is that the seller is off the hook. Nishba sheni yodev and nifta. The seller's part says the Taz, you see, conceptually it's the same thing. In the case of the loan, I owed you the money. I gave you something to pay off the loan. Now we're not sure if that thing was good or bad. So the Taz is Pacher. Same thing as this case. I gave you cash for a gold ring. I gave you cash for a gold ring. You gave me a ring, which at the time we thought was gold. Now we're not sure what it is anymore. You say, the Tavea is saying, I gave you the money for sure. You definitely have my cash. You gave me a ring which is Suffolk good, Suffolk not good. And I'm telling you it was not good. I'm sure it was not good. I took the ring home, I opened it up immediately, and it was bad. The seller saying, he's like the debtor, he's saying, I don't know. Yes, I took your money, but as far as I know, I gave you fair compensation for it. I gave you a gold ring. Not a gold ring? I don't know. I thought it was. The Taz says, these two cases are the same, and just like your potter over there, you are potter over here. So this is the Machlokas, Shach and Taz, discussed by many, many later Achron.
Wouldn't it be even better for the Taz, because here there's not even necessarily a robe?
Right. So you can argue that the Pesach Tshuva back in Siman Ayin Hey brings from the Tshuvas Veshav HaKohen, who says that when the Taz said Rove, it was L'Ravcha D'Milsa. He didn't really need that svara, that as long as at the time they assumed it was good, that's enough to be Misalat V'Chazaka. And L'Chari, you could bring a Raya like that, because L'Chari, in the case of the gold, one could maybe argue that there's a chazaka that most gold-plated things are, but I don't know if there's such a chazaka or not, and the Pasha says there isn't, and I would agree with what you said, that the Raya that Taz brings arguably shows, like the Veshav HaKohen, that thing about Rov is L'Ravcha D'Milsa, and it's not his Ikra Svara. And indeed, it is a big machlokes achronim, whether the Rov is a key portion of the Taz Svara or not. Many achronim, at least, I only had a chance to go through some of them tonight, but the achronim I saw mostly seem to assume the Rov is a key part of the Svara, but again, you can argue not. I'll call upon him, that's the machlokes between the Taz and the Shach. Now, what does the Shach do with this Raya? This Raya is a Mefurush Ramah, just one sif earlier. The Shach is literally on the next page. The Shach himself, when it came to this din of the gold, the Shach explained it, had no problem with it. Shach accepts this halacha. Rishonim say it, Ramah paskin like that, Shach paskin like that. How is the case of the gold ring different from the case of the money that was paid back and turned out to be a Suffolk counterfeit? So the Pesach Tshuva in Siman Ayin Hey brings a number of achronim, the Urim V'Tumim, Panim Iros, the Beis Meir, who all say more or less the same teretz. They all say there's a big difference between a sale, where the cash and the item are exchanged more or less at the same time, and the case of a loan, where the loan is made, the whole point of a loan is that the payment is made at a later date in a separate transaction from the original loan. The loan happens today, payment happens tomorrow, next week, next year. It's two separate transactions. Say these achronim, when it comes to two separate transactions, the first one created a vade chiyuv, the second one maybe rolled back the chiyuv, maybe paid off the chiyuv, maybe it didn't. We're not sure if the second transaction was done with good cash or bad cash. Then the shachel, that's called the cheskes chiyuv, and that's called any dam praticha. Masha'ein kein, a sale, where everything happens together, I give you the cash and you give me the item, that's not called the cheskes chiyuv, because that all happened together. So if it was good gold, it was a good item, it was never a chiyuv. So in such a case, the shach agrees that's called any dem eschayavti, because it was all one big transaction. We don't look at it as one transaction created a cheskes chiyuv, the second transaction maybe paid it off. It was all one big transaction. The truth is, however, other achronim don't like this. Other achronim say that's the wrong way to look at it. They say anytime you do a transaction, a sale of one item for another, we have to look carefully. You didn't give the two things at exactly the same time. One was given first. Either I first gave you the cash and then you gave me the item, or vice versa. So they say, in the case where I first gave you the ring, let's say, and then you gave me the cash, then yes. Then you can argue if the ring preceded the cash, then we don't know if there was ever a chiyuv in the first place. If the ring was a good ring, then by the time you gave me the cash, you already had the ring. So then there was never a vade chiyuv. But if the transaction happened in reverse order, if the buyer first gave the cash to the seller, and then 10 seconds later, the jeweler reached behind the counter and gave him the ring. So for those 10 seconds, there was a chiyuv. As soon as you took my cash, as soon as the jeweler took the $100 bill from the customer, he had a chiyuv to either give back the cash or give a ring. Now, 10 seconds later, maybe he gave a good ring, maybe he gave a bad ring. So that's the same thing. What's the difference if a loan was paid back the next day or the next year, or the jeweler gave the property 10 seconds later? For those 10 seconds, it was a vade chiyuv. So these achronim, the achronim we mentioned earlier, seem to hold that as long as it was structured as a sale, where it was more or less at the same time, even if technically there were a few seconds in between, it doesn't make a difference. We look at that whole transaction as one. But other achronim, notably the Marash Engel, and he brings others, say, no, it actually depends on the sequence. Which one happened first? Marash Engel has some other fancy svaras about Kesef being Konis, so at the same time the Chiyuv was cancelled, but putting aside his Lumdish footwork, basically he says it should depend on the actual sequence of the transfer of the property. And he brings other achronim who say the same thing. Earlier than him, he brings a Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer talks about an interesting case, a money changer. Somebody was giving in a large bill, and he was taking back. He gave in, I think, a 1,000-ruble bill, and he was taking back 10-ruble bills. So the money changer would take the cash out of, there were apparently two different tables. The money changer had a big desk where all of his stacks of bills were stacked up, and then the customer would sit in front of a little table nearby, and he would take his bill and give it to the money changer, and the money changer would count out some bills and deposit it on the counter in front of the customer. So they had a case where the customer gave a 1,000-ruble bill. He gave the client small bills, and some of the bills went missing. There was a few rubles that went missing. We're not sure if those small bills went missing when the stack was still sitting on the money changer's desk, or after he already gave them to the customer. If he already gave them to the customer, then they were stolen from the customer. The customer lost them. If they were stolen from his desk before he gave them to the customer, then it's his loss. We don't know. We're not sure what happened. So the Chasam Sofer says, is this called any dam praticha or any dam mischayavti? He says, it depends. If he first took the 1,000-ruble bill from the customer and then gave the small rubles to the customer, then that's any dam praticha, because as soon as he took the 1,000-ruble bill, at that point, he has a chiyuv to give the customer his 1,000 rubles back, and then if you don't know if they were stolen from you or from him, that's any dam praticha. If, however, you first gave him his rubles, and then after you gave him his rubles, you took the big bill, that's any dam mischayavti, he says, because if the rubles were not stolen yet until they got to the customer, then the customer had his 1,000 rubles before he gave you his rubles, so then it's any dam mischayavti. So he takes for granted also, like the Maharsha Engel brings this, that we don't care if it was structured as one big transaction. We actually care about the technical sequence, which one came first and which one came later. Brings the same thing from the Maral Diskin. Again, a case where somebody paid cash for wheat, received wheat. Some of the specified quantity was missing. They're not sure if it was stolen after the buyer already took possession or before. And he also says it really depends on what the order was, whether the cash came first or whether the delivery came first. And he also, the fact that it's a sale doesn't make a difference. You still have to look at the actual sequence of the transaction. So the bottom line is we have machlokas, shach, and taz, whether the case of paying back a loan, which is definitely two separate transactions, is considered any dam pratich or any dam echzarti. In the taz, who says any, the shach's shita is simple to understand. In the taz, who says any adeya im nishayafti, the question is that because of the rove, and then you have to look at each case and decide whether there's a rove or not, or simply because at the time there was a presumption that it was paid off. And then the question is, how does the shach deal with the cases of sales? Some say that some gedolei achronim said any sale, even you don't look at technically which one happened first, any transaction that was structured as a sale is called en adem mischayavti because it was all one big sale. Other achronim seem to assume that in a sale you actually have to look which part of the transaction happened first. That will determine whether it's en adem mischayavti or en adem praticha.